Star Market Celtics tonight continues from the Garden, Orlando, all places in between. Our conversation with the head coach, brought to you as always by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. I'm often fascinated by your profession, and I think about what Nick has accomplished in the last 2 years. He's coach of the year in the league. By any measure, he has done an extraordinary job. And this profession you've chosen, you can prepare everything meticulously for hours, days, and months. And on any given day, shots just don't go in. And there has to be such a tendency or a natural instinct to overreact when sometimes shots just don't fall.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I think we played good defense for the most part and made it as tough as possible. But even then, I think they'd make a few of those. We expect them to, you know, shoot it a little bit better, but we think there's defensive things we can clean up to make it tougher. And offensively, we've got to stop turning the ball over. But other than that, you know, I think that's why each game's its own entity. You can feel really good about yourself on offense one night, not as much the next, but you got to keep guarding. And one of the things that that team will do is they'll keep competing and keep guarding. So hopefully we'll do the same.
Well, obviously, we'll get to the turnovers in a second, but you mentioned the defense, things you could do better, things you did well. What did you do particularly well, and what are you referencing? What is in your mind when you say there are things we have to do better defensively?
Well, we have to sprint back. We have to not fall for the hesitate-and-go dribble that gets them to the rim. We have to match out the trailers better. We have to guard with more activity in the post. We have to guard the drive even more consistently with our hands back. We got to close out better. We got to be there on the pass better. We've got to make sure we push catches out better, rebound better, not get back cut ever. Like, what else do you want? We got to do
other
everything
than that. What else?
Game, I mean, one. We got to play better.
Yeah, obviously, that's sort of nitpicking. I mean,
I thought that's what people wanted. I thought people just wanted us to talk about like all the boring stuff.
Hey, listen, we could go down that.
We haven't even gotten off the.
How about the horrifically boring rabbit hole we could go down about what the league considers fast break points and what you consider fast break points, which, I mean, I fell asleep listening to you try to explain that yesterday, so we won't even try it now. Turnovers always get magnified this time of year. No better example than the Houston game last night when the Rockets, the way they play, they can't afford to turn it over, and they did. How do you win a game by 18, 20 points as you did in game one, turning the ball over as many times as you did?
Well, we did run back after each of them. Some of those turnovers were not of the ilk where you're throwing it the other way and they get a two-on-one or three-on-two. We got back in the plays. We made things tough. We had several blocks from behind. We had several plays at the rim where we kept our hands up and played without fouling, which was excellent. So we played well in those moments. We just don't want to be in those moments very often. But, you know, it's a lot easier. It's easier for me and you to say, hey, don't turn it over. And then they're like, hey, have you seen, like, Lowry puts his nose into your chest and takes your ball? Like, that happens every game. He's a strong, tough guy. They got a bunch of those guys. And so we're going to turn it over some. Just got to make sure we don't do it quite as much.
Yeah, they were. Norman Powell was unbelievably physical in game one just every single time. As it was happening Sunday, it was impossible to ignore the almost eerie similarity between this year and last year in terms of a first-round sweep, ending with a Sunday afternoon win, a week in between games, a game one of the second round with a good big size margin of victory in game one. And obviously we know what happened after that. How do you feel about the way your team is playing now as opposed to last year, which I guess is just a way of asking if you saw what was coming last year, losing the four straight, and how do you feel now compared to after game one, other than being in a bubble and being in a hotel room?
I haven't even thought about it. You know, each game and each year is its own entity. You don't, you know, every team's different. Every series is different. They're all good teams. You know, you're just trying to win a game. It's hard enough to win one game in the NBA. So I don't even think about like we've won five straight or we have to win three more to win a series. I just focus on today. And so we have a really tight knit, tough, committed team. And if we get beat, it'll be because somebody beat us, you know, not because we, didn't bring it. I think that we have a real just the way it is. So I don't think any of us are dwelling on what's happened in the past. I don't think it's even
without starting our age old debate about Indiana and New York when it comes to basketball and their respective places in history. I did have one advantage growing up on you growing up in the 80s, which is I got to sort of live through that Big East in real time with the players were legendary, but the coaches were larger than life. And, you know, as a kid, the young kid, almost my son's age, and you're watching St. John's and Syracuse and, of course, Georgetown. And of all of these coaches that were larger than life, and having gotten to meet John Thompson a couple of times, there was an extraordinary presence to him that made you just want more every time. And a lot of people have told their stories about him in the last 24 hours, but he was truly somebody who you felt just impacted the people around him.
Yeah, that's the best part, right? So you can count up all the wins you want at the end of the day, but the way that he impacted his community, the way he impacted all of the players on his teams, the way he impacted the coaching profession, you know, cannot be overstated. Just an incredible impact all the way through. And obviously I remember watching his teams with, you know, great admiration when I was a kid, and they were always, you know, right at the top with a chance to win. They won in 84, almost won again in 85. They had the great Morning and Mutombo front lines of the late 80s. Like, you know, obviously Iverson, you go down the line, they just had incredible teams and incredible groups to watch. But you're right, he was always larger than life. And the more I've learned about him as I became a coach and as I got into coaching, crossed paths only a couple of times, the more I respect and appreciate all that he did. You know, I know his son pretty well. He's been up to Boston a few times when we hold our summer retreat. And, you know, I just think really highly of JT3, and, you know, our thoughts go out to their family for sure.
That's the final word. Game two next on the 98.5 Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.